Hello everyone, welcome again. It's time for Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. Let us join in on what he's doing. Being faithful to all that he will give you. All that he will speak. When the Lord is teaching me, when he teaches me something I didn't ask for, it's very important. I always found it to be very important and rewarding to understand. When you receive the revelation of God with open arms, you know, you just want more and more. Then the Lord will show you the easy way to minister to others. You know, I learned a lot of things from the Lord. He would tell me things I'd be so excited I want to share it with people. And when it's time for you to share it, he'll show you how to relay it. We don't just share the word with people. We relay the word in a way that they can receive it. And it's always fun to me. I love it. I enjoy it. And he does it so many different ways, not just one. And it's individualized. Yes, that's perfect. That's a perfect way to put it. It's individualized. When I'm talking to people that know the word, it's a little bit easier because they have script, they can relate to scripture because they're students of the word. If it's people that's just getting started, they don't have a scriptural base, then the Holy Spirit helped me to do it a more simplified way. And sometimes people that don't know, they're easier to teach because they don't have blockades. What I mean by blockades is when they know something, especially men, when men know something, they're dogmatic about it. They're masters. You can't tell them anything. You know, if it's sound new, they're gonna that shield goes up. That shield of faith goes up. But think about it this way, and I'm not saying this just to poke fun at men of God. I love all men of God, but I have to deal with what they actually do. A shield of faith goes up if they never heard it a certain way. People receive revelation according to what they like. There are some parts of God's word people will receive greater than others, and so is their lives. Some people, they can receive financial information better than others, or in a greater measure than others normally seem to. And some people receive healing in greater measure than others. Some receive corrections. You know, some people are interested in how do I live right. And when it comes to correction, they're all ears. They want correction. If they don't have a system already in place and they're receptive, they pull from, you know, you can feel when people are pulling from the anointing because it's leaving you. God is causing you to speak beyond your years or beyond your intelligence. The Holy Spirit is using your anointing and you're learning too. So the Lord is putting things together that they need right now to help their lives and others that they will run into. So whatever God is up to, if you're a part of it, you're being, spiritual wealth is pouring in on your life as you do this. This is why when God gave me revelation, I can't wait to tell people that I trust, when I trust that they love other people, I know that they'll be faithful with revelation. And when I learn anything that helped me, I love to tell my pastor or any pastor friends of mine, people that just love people. I'm more ready to tell people that I know will love others. And I'm not like the kind of preachers that say, well, I want everybody to know that God gave this to me. It's not about that. It's about, the Lord told me, he gave me a vision and an instruction. He said, let not my people lack knowledge. I'm on a mission to do that, to give people information so that they don't lack knowledge. And I want to do it as fast as I can. And I like to give knowledge to the people that will do something with it, not just throw it away and waste it. but people that will use it faithfully. Now, if people have the world somewhere, if they didn't deal with the world somewhere, they may use it. You know, the Lord taught me something that a proud man, if he has worldly ambitions, and God give him revelation, he'll use it against God. Now, they don't mean to, but they will, because the friendship of the world will make you the enemy of God. And I'm going to show you how it works. And I started yesterday's broadcast. It was called faults. Sometimes there are faults that people know nothing about. But the Holy Spirit does. Now, he has to deal with everything. The Lord can't do evil. He will not do evil. He will only do what's wise. He will only do what's loving. He will only do what is right. And he will not do anything that is corrupt. You know, it's like this. It's very important for people to know, to be in the know, and know God's word, know his will, know his ways. This is important for everybody, but sometimes there are problems that people know nothing about. And especially if you're in the position of Peter and Paul, they were pioneering, but they did an excellent job, because they kept the prayer room as their highest priority. The prayer room was more, their prayer life, their relationship with God was more important than their ministry. With God, you have to be able to receive every word that he's saying. Jesus said, told Satan, man don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Not just some of it. Now, we have our picks and chooses. So, the thing about revelation is, people are receptive. It's possible, it's very possible to be receptive on one end and not receptive on another. A good example is the denomination of church and the spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit. They were taught wrong. Now, modern day preachers, if you go to a denomination of Baptist, Methodist, Episcopalians, now some of them are the same as they were years ago. But some are more progressive, and they're open, you know, because of media, they've got better training. And I've heard of Baptist churches that people receive the Holy Ghost in. I'm saying these things because when people know something, they believe that they can, they've received a revelation, and it's true. But sometimes the Lord has more to say about the matter. Not to discredit it at all. If you know, and people have different revelations about different things. So when God has been dealing with people, I become a student. I don't care how old they are, whether they're just getting started or not. If they say something and I detect, because Jesus did say, and my sheep hear my voice and they follow me, a stranger they won't follow. And you say, if somebody says something wrong, if you love the truth, you'll detect it eventually. The Holy Spirit will help you. If you pay attention to the Holy Spirit when people are talking, it'll bear witness. The Holy Spirit will bear witness with the truth. He's the Spirit of truth. People don't have to be afraid of being deceived. Then they'll go and listen to somebody that is deceived and dig in. Well, once people are trained a certain way, that's what they stick with. But nowadays, there are so many denominational churches that are shifting gears. I went to a friend of mine's funeral, and they were talking about confessions in a Methodist church. Why? Because more light has been... Christian people are not stupid. They are progressive. They've been lied to, and eventually lies will be exposed. And once they're exposed, those that love the truth will receive it, and those that don't love the truth will reject it, ultimately. But it's possible to receive a revelation in one area and lack knowledge in another, and or have a piece of the puzzle and think you got the whole piece. And so the Holy Spirit is the one who gives clarity. And he's given, I've learned things from the Holy Spirit, and then he told me more about it, and everything fit like a glove. Now, the reason I'm saying these things is because if the enemy gets away with too much because we lack knowledge. Now, the enemy is afraid. He was always afraid of what man would do being linked to the Holy Ghost. That's why he started the doctrines of devils that got people off track for centuries. But when people are, there are people that broke through and began to experience miracles, and it caused revival to break out in the denomination of churches, and some people adapted and they got in on it and became Pentecostal. Well, all of us are Christians, and we have responsibility to each other, and we have to cross denominational lines. So I said all that to say this: to love the truth is to receive the truth. If you continue to receive the truth, and as darkness is exposed, you have to drive out the darkness, because it's very important. We have to give an account. James said that, you know, don't be many, you know, he talked about us being many masters, and we'll get to that later. But look, let's look over here in Numbers chapter 22. Here's a man of God that was being persuaded by the world. And you have to be able to live by the word of God. Even under, you have to be prepared so that when the pressure's on, you'll stick with God. Now keep in mind, people become false prophets or true prophets based on how they receive the word of God. And the parable that answers every parable is the parable of the sower. Jesus said the man sowed went out and sowed seed. Some fell on the wayside, some on stony ground, some among thorns, and some in good ground. And what fell in good ground, it bore fruit. Psalm 30, 60, 100. What fell among the thorns choked the word and they couldn't bear fruit. Those that fell among the stones, stony ground, they were glad to receive it, but then when the pressure was on, they gave way. And then there's the wayside that won't listen. Now, every person on earth falls into one of those four categories, and sometimes at different points in their lives. Numbers 22, verse 1. And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab on this side of Jordan by Jericho. And Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. And Moab was so afraid of the people because they were many. And Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. And Moab said unto the elders of Midian, now shall this company lick up all that are around about us. And as the ox licketh up the grass of the field. And Balak the son of Zippor was king of the Moabites at that time. He sent messengers therefore unto Balaam the son of Beor, or sometimes they call it Peor, to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I know not, or I wot that whom thou... The word "what" means no. I know that whom you bless is blessed, and whom you curse is cursed. And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with rewards of divination in their hand, and they came unto Balaam and spake unto him the words of Balak. And he said unto them, lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again, as the Lord shall speak unto me. And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. And God came unto Balaam and said, what men are these with thee? And Balaam said unto God, Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, hath sent unto me, saying, Behold, there was a people come out of Egypt, which covers the face of the earth. Come now, curse them, peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. Now watch this. Watch what God told the man of God. Now, some people say Balaam was a mystic, but as I read these scriptures, he don't fit the bill of a mystic. But nevertheless, people teach what they want. Verse 12 says, And God said unto Balaam, Thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt curse the people, for they are blessed. Now, a mystic wouldn't care. But Balaam did in the beginning. And Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, Get you to your land, for the Lord refuses to give me leave to go with you. And he did what he was supposed to. What kind of heart did he have at that moment? He stuck with the word of God. He responded to God, not man. Now, again, being fair to Balak, to Balaam and Balak, Balak didn't know these people. He just knew they came out of Egypt and they destroyed the Ammonites. They won. And he was afraid. He's in his mind, he's a patriot. So he sent Balaam. He sent for Balaam. Balaam is responding to his king. But he took the matter to the Lord. He had enough wisdom, knowledge, and love to take it to the Lord in prayer. And that's where we win. And that's only where we win, when we act on what God said. Then right here, he acted on what God said. Because verse 14 said, And the princes of Moab rose up, and they went unto Balak and said, Balaam refuses to come with us. And Balak sent yet again princes more and more honorable than they. And they came to Balaam and said to him, Thus saith Balak the son of Zippor, Let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me. For I will promote thee unto a very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, If Balak will give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord. My God, he said, my God. Mystics don't say my God, the Lord my God. I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. And God will not refuse anybody, Jew or Gentile, that will call him my God and obey him, like Balaam was doing here. Therefore, I pray you, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. So he refused to go, but he said, tarry here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say to me more. And God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, If the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them, but yet the word which I say unto thee, that shall thou do. Now, this tells me when God already told him don't go, and he meant it. He don't change. Balaam started to drift. Verse 19. Because of what God said in 20, it tells me that he began to compromise. When seeds are sown among thorns, it chokes the word and they become unfruitful. The strength of Balaam was being compromised. And now God's beginning to repurpose him as a false prophet. He was a true prophet, but now he's beginning to compromise. And God tells his people, He gives his plans to his people. But those that are compromised, they're beginning to be friends with the world. Balaam rose up in the morning, saddled his ass, and went with the princes of Moab. Now watch this now. I'm not just making junk up. I'm telling you what the word says. And God's anger was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. Can we learn something from this? When you are handling holy things of God, when you are doing God's way, you have to stick with what God said. You can't go by what you see or how you feel or what others want you to do. This is why we must pray for our pastors, not just our pastor, but the ones on TV. They are under serious pressure, just like Balaam was, to compromise. Remember something about compromise. Satan always wins the compromise. You don't win the compromise. This was proven in Nehemiah, you know, when he had the nationwide divorce. The Jews that married the Gentiles, the children spoke the language of the Gentile and didn't know Hebrew. They had to learn Hebrew. That tells you Satan always wins the compromise. Now, the Jews that married proselytes, those children would have been speaking Hebrew and circumcised. But when you compromise somewhere, you're gone. If you're double-hearted, you're gone. You can't be double-hearted in God's house. Enoch taught his children, his sons, not to be double-hearted. He taught his people not to be double-hearted. Very important not to be double-hearted. Now, I'm going to read verse 22 again. God's anger was kindled because he went. And he was told not to go. Do not ever do anything that God said don't do. Don't cross the line. Don't compromise. You don't have to, and you don't have to apologize for doing what's right. God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field, and Balaam smote the ass and turned her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in a path of the vineyards, a wall being on that side and a wall on that side, a wall being on this side and a wall being on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself into the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood on a narrow place where there was no way to turn either right hand or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, "What have I done unto thee? What have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times?" Now, let me pause on something. Animals are dumb. They don't talk. But the Lord opened the mouth of the ass. Then she spoke, and what she said was from memory. She could count. And Balaam said unto the ass, "Because thou hast mocked me, I wish there was a sword in my hand. Now would I kill thee?" And the ass said unto Balaam, again she spoke from memory, "Am I not thine ass, upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine own unto this day? Was I ever in lack to do so unto thee?" And he said, "Nay." And the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. A mystic wouldn't care, but he fell flat on his face. And the angel said unto him, "Wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times?" Behold, God wants us to treat animals right too. But continuing, "Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me." Your way is perverse before me. Your way is perverse before me. As the ass saw me, and the ass saw me, and turned from me these three times, unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and left and saved her alive. This is what the angel told Balaam. And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it please thee, I will get me back again. He had enough in him to go back. And the angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, go with them, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee, that thou shalt speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. He should have did what God said in the first place. Now I said earlier that when the Lord told him to go, God won't hijack your will, ever. It's your responsibility to stick with what he says and do and carry out the mission. Don't do anything that he said don't do. But it became his will to go. God can't, you know, he don't recognize compromised people. He recognized his people. Either you're his people or you're not. If you begin to, this is so serious. It's serious business not to ever compromise. I'm going to come back to verse 35 because, you know, James said something. We're going to look at the James scripture now, James chapter 3:1. People think that just because God don't say nothing, they're in the clear, that don't mean anything. You have to know that you're obeying God and why. You have to be in faith. Anything that's not of faith is sin. You got to look at it that way. I mean it. It's important. James said, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. We need to know that we're following God and we need to follow him. It's very important. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, and is able also to bridle the whole body. So we can bridle our tongue, we can bridle our body, because verse 3 says, behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold, also the ships which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small hand. Whithersoever the governor listeth, or in our day, wherever the captain wants to go. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasts great things. Behold, now a great matter, a little fire kindles. You can start a forest fire with a match. You can even burn a piece of paper and put it out, but all it takes is a crumb of ember to redo the whole, to start a forest fire. And the tongue is a fire, world of iniquity, so is the tongue among our members, that it defiles the whole body and set on fire the course of nature, and it is set on the fire of hell. It's very important. If you can tame the tongue, you can bridle the body with it. So, again, verse 1, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Now, people become false prophets because of how they handle the word of God or reject the word of God. Here, Balaam was, he was doing something he had no business. God told him not to go with those men, and he should have just turned back. But when the Lord told him to go, I believe that he was in a state of compromise, and the Lord, he has mercy on us. Of course he loved Balaam just like he loved me, just like Jesus loved me. He loved Balaam. He didn't want to lose Balaam to witchcraft. But verse 35, and the angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, go with the men, but only the word that I speak unto thee, that thou shalt speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. Now, what he said in verse 35 is the same thing that he said when he told him to go the first time. Let's look at what he said the first time. This is verse 20. God came to Balaam at night and said unto him, If a man come to call thee, rise up and go with him. But yet the word which I say unto thee, that shalt thou do. Then when he went, God got mad at him. All right, verse 21. Balaam arose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab, and God's anger was kindled because he went. And then the angel stood before him as an adversary. And down here in verse 35, same thing. And the angel of the Lord said to Balaam, go with the men, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee, that thou shalt speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. Now think about what just happened. If the Lord was angry in verse 20, is he still angry now? He's still angry now. Now, but let's watch what happens. This is going to be a part two. When Balak heard that Balaam was come, he went out.